Hi, and welcome to the AHDB Food and Farming Podcast. My name is Leah Shanks, and I am Beef and Lamb's Knowledge Exchange Manager for the Southwest. In today's podcast, I am delighted to introduce you to some of our new monitor farmers, Liz and Rob Priest. Liz and Rob farm in Holsworthy, Devon, and today they are going to give us an insight into life on the farm. Can you please introduce yourselves and tell us a bit about your farm?
Yep, I'm Liz Priest.
And I'm Rob Priest. We're farming just outside of Holsworthy on the sort of North Cornwall-Devon border, on the correct side of Devon. We farm roughly 450 acres over about five sites with three main sites. Home farm, which is 170 acres. My mum and dad's 2 miles away, which is 70 acres. And then we've got a farm out towards Brabourne, which is 160 acres. And some bits and pieces dotted around in between.
We're organic beef and sheep farmers, and we've been organic for 15 years.
And you've recently been appointed as AHDB's new beef and lamb monitor farm in the southwest of England. Congratulations. What was it that made you want to apply?
It was something that I've watched and seen some of the other monitor farms over the last few years, watching what they've been doing, and thought that we could give it a go, and decided that we feel that it would push us and push the business if we're responsible or if we're answerable to other people that are coming in and looking at our business and looking at the farm.
We're quite driven by the facts and figures and like to be honest with people, and we're quite happy to share our information. So, you know, when people we talk to asks what it is we're doing, I like to be as honest as I can be and actually back that up with the figures that we have, good and bad. For instance, when you talk to people, we are very good at telling each other what our scanning percentages are, but the one thing that's more important to me than scanning is actually what you've physically sold, and nobody ever talks about how many you've actually sold. And I think that, you know, if we can get that information out there and get people thinking in a different manner, I think we might just achieve something.
So you're not fazed about strangers coming onto the farm?
No, always pleased to see people. You know, we did the beef to grass with the AHDB and Charlie Morgan for 2 years, held three events here, and thoroughly enjoyed ourselves doing it. Again, we used different technology that we hadn't been used to in plate metering our grass, which gave us information that we didn't have to hand before. It made us do things that we didn't think were possible. So surprised ourselves in what we could achieve when I said that it wasn't possible and Charlie said it was. You know, it's always nice to be proved wrong.
So we're right at the start of your programme. Do you know what your goals are or what you'd like to achieve over the next 4 years?
Yep, we have been thinking, well, before we applied, we had to kind of put some ideas down on paper as to what we would like to achieve. Some of the things that we've come up with overall is kind of improve our own profitability within the farm business, to do things better. So a couple of things in particular, for selecting stock for sale and selecting stock to join our breeding herd or the breeding flock. So we want to, you know, kind of know that we're doing the best that we can to do that. Continue to improve the pastures that we're using. We've done, as Rob just said, we've done some work with Charlie Morgan and Lupo Deepenbrook over the past few years, and we want to continue to improve the pastures because I feel there are always things that you can learn. We are hopefully shortly going to be moving to a new farm or taking on a new farm, and we feel that will be a completely new sheet. So not everything works on one farm that will work the same on another. You need to be able to adapt. So it's making sure that we are open to ideas to be able to adapt to take to the new farm. And also improve the percentage of lambs and calves that are finished or reared or join the other flock. So we feel that the KPI of lambs and calves sold is really kind of vital to us and to the business.
You just mentioned a new farm, so you're currently going through a farm sale. What brought you to that decision and how daunting has it been to make that move?
I'm not really sure what brought us to the decision. Our farms are fairly wet in the sense that we get a lot of rainfall here. Last year we were nearly 60 inches, and it becomes very hard work sometimes. Although we can grow grass without probably thinking about it too difficultly, the biggest problem is utilising it and being able to harvest when you want to rather than when the weather dictates. So I grew 25 acres of whole crop last year and spoilt the whole lot, pretty much anyway. The first field I cut on a Saturday evening in perfect conditions. We were all looking wonderful. The forecast changed and was forecasting thunderstorms on the Monday. So we took the decision to bail the first field on the Sunday night at 3 a.m, which wasn't looking too bad. And then the next morning, when we were trying to pick the bales up, we had 2 inches of rain in 2 hours. The ground being fairly soft anyway from being reseeded, we couldn't even pick the bales up without the tractor sinking down to its axle. We then suffered with rain right through to the middle of September, and the bales sat there until, I think it was the 22nd of September, we started picking them up again, by which time the birds had damaged them pretty much beyond use. We did try and rewrap them again, but it was just damage limitation at that point. The other field we did pick up with a forage harvester, but you know, again, it was raining the day before. It drizzled in the morning. It drizzled a bit when we were actually picking it up. You know, it was designed to fatten our cattle, and it ended up some of it going down for bedding, and the rest was eaten by cows because they're the only ones that would actually look at it. So it's just frustrating that we've thrown all that money at reseeding and trying to get a crop, and the weather was our biggest hindrance. And it's pretty much the same every year here. And so we just saw that there was a farm for sale, relatively local, obviously a lot drier, but also had other opportunities on that farm. So the new farmer's got a holiday let on, and being next to the coast with it also has a campsite. So we just feel that it's got half the rainfall, so it's about 30 inches of rainfall down there, next to the coast, drier land, all within a ring fence, and with other opportunities on the ground. So that's where we are really. It was just saw the opportunity, went and had a nose, and thought, well, the opportunity is there, let's go for it. So.
And I'm excited for a tour shortly, I hope. Are you doing anything to prepare for the loss of basic payment?
Yep, we are. We've are entered into a mid-tier countryside stewardship 4-5 years ago, and that will come to an end at the end of December 21. So we are actually re-entering a mid-tier countryside stewardship now, because we feel that if we don't apply this year, that's kind of the end of our last chance. And we feel that the Elms scheme that's coming in, we want to give that time to settle down and for us to get some more information about it, because effectively there's not a huge amount of information available yet to farmers to exactly what's going to happen and what's going to be available. Over the past few years, we have diversified quite a lot, both on farm and off farm. So we've got a 50 kilowatts of solar panels here at the farm. We've also got a biomass boiler, and we in 2012 we installed a rainwater harvesting system as well, all really to kind of help reduce our own costs but also provide an additional income into the farm. We've also got planning permission on a barn, which we can convert to offices and workshops, although we haven't actually started the work on that project yet. And we have in the past diversified off farm with some residential rental properties, and we did at one stage have a 3-bed holiday let which overlooked Widmouth Bay. So we've kind of tried to ensure that we're not putting all our eggs in one basket and that we're diversifying where we can to ensure that we get a continued income.
Livestock wise, as far as trying to mitify the loss of single farm payment, is that we've invested in stabiliser cattle that are pretty easy to look after, I think is probably the best way of putting it. We like the genetics and high herd health of that breed. And also we're moving more and more towards outdoor lambing, again trying to reduce our costs. So in the last few years we've probably gone from £8,000 worth of feed costs.
About
£8,000 worth of feed costs for the sheep, down to about 2.5. Mm-hmm. So you know we've already dramatically improved that. I mean, the cattle wise, we don't feed any grain at all. We can finish stabiliser beef animals at 20 to 24 months, just off of grass without any problems. So we're kind of, that's where we are with it. We're just trying to reduce our own costs and do as much off of grass as we physically can, really.
You mentioned you've got stabiliser cattle. What breed are your sheep?
Well, a little bit of licorice all sort, but so we've predominantly been mule in the past, and then I've put either a Suffolk or a Texel over them and kept them back as breeding sheep. But I've just found that the mule has been a bit too prolific, and so we've moved away from that. And this last 12 months, we've moved to the Aberfield. So I mean, we've had a good year with them, I have to say, and been very pleased with them. A little bit quick on their feet, but as far as mums and the job that they've done, been very good. And also, we've got a flock of Highlanders that we're lambing out. My intention is to lamb out the Aberfields in time, especially if we do get down to Bude on the drier ground, and if it's a better drier spring, then we'll lamb them out as well. That's plan A at the moment. But if we can get away from feeding concentrates and lambing out, then I'm sure that you know we can reduce our costs even more.
Liz, you've just mentioned the ELM scheme. Where do you see the role of environment schemes in your business?
They definitely have a role to play, we feel, within our business. It helps us to think about other options. It's very easy to kind of look at the business and think, well, we've always done it that way and we'll continue to do that sort of thing. I think the mid-tier countryside stewardship does allow you to try other things, and picking up a payment as well to help the kind of the test and the trial with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all fine when it's what you want to do. The biggest trouble is that somebody's written the rules that doesn't always fit with what you're trying to do, or that understand that each farm is different. Being organic like we are, when you start reading the rules, it feels very much that they're trying to tie you up to farming with one arm behind your back. We have to sign up for 5 years and decide what we're going to do for 5 years, whereas a conventional farm can start a scheme this year and then have another scheme the year after, which gets a little bit frustrating. We already want to grow herbal leys and see it very much as a part of our future. But actually, to pick up the GS4 payment, we're not allowed to do that because we're already organic, which confuses me very much. But on the whole, you know, I would say it's pretty positive.
I think it's safe to say that being a farmer isn't easy, that there are easier careers to pick, especially with the example of the loss of your whole crop this year. What is it that keeps you motivated?
For me, I think it's watching the stock. I really like kind of lambing, and although I don't always feel like I like lambing in the, when we're in the middle of it, I really enjoy seeing the new animals being born, and whether it's the lambs or the calves, and ensuring that we can get them off to a good start. I think that for me is a big motivator. And then when we start selecting stock to go to the abattoir, or if we're looking to move more animals into the breeding herd or into the flock, I always find that, you know, interesting, and I really enjoy that kind of that part of it. So I guess that's what keeps me motivated.
I think that the whole thing is what keeps us going, really. I mean, you know, COVID has been a real nightmare for most. For us, it's been nothing more than a different day, and we haven't had to change very much as far as COVID's concerned, because every day we've been out doing the farm work, and we haven't seen much difference. And for our children who have had to stay home from school, you know, when they've had enough of being in front of the computer, they've been able to go out, get on the quad bike, go and do some sheep, go and do something. They haven't been stuck in 24 hours a day and not allowed to go anywhere or do anything. You know, we live in a fantastic place that most people want to come to on holiday, and we actually live here. Yes, we don't have the income that some people in London have, but we live probably better than them. That's certainly how I feel. You know, we can look out the window today, look across to Dartmoor. You know, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's not, but we are out enjoying the sunshine and enjoying the countryside, and that's what keeps us going.
What's your favourite job on the farm to do?
Oh, I don't know what's my favourite, really. That's true, because it's so diverse, and you know, March is lambing, and you know, and calving, and yes, it's fantastic when you get a fresh born calf and it gets up and it sucks, and you know, you see it dancing and running around the field. And the same with the lambs. You know, when it's all going well, it's nothing better. I mean, you know, it's great fun to see the first field cut of silage in the year. You know, to go fencing and, you know, stand back and see what you've put up and see what you've achieved. So, you know, every month and every year is different, because you're always building something, making something, changing something. You know, you're always looking, trying to educate yourself, I guess. Is
you're not doing a 9-to-5, you're doing some long hours. So how do you ensure a work-life balance?
I think it's not always easy. We've just been talking about lambing and calving, and that is always a, you know, long hours, dark nights and things like that. But I think we found over the years that it's something you've really just have got to work at. And it's no good saying, oh, well, we'll go away sometime. You actually have to book something in the diary. Even better, book where your accommodation or what you're going to go and do, and then just actually get on and go. And just go away for, whether it's just a couple of nights. It just gives you that bit of time away from the farm and time away from the business. And for us, often, we do end up talking about the business, but you can put a different perspective on it, because you're not actually there on the farm at the time. You can look at things. And if we if we've got a meeting that we want to go to, or a sale or something like that we want to attend, we will try and make the most of the day out. You know, we might go and have lunch somewhere that we wouldn't normally go. If we, you know, if we go to a sale, we try and perhaps go somewhere for lunch rather than just chasing back home again as soon as we've been.
I think we've always been pretty good at getting away compared to some farmers who almost make it their challenge not to go away. You know, we've always had our holidays, always made sure we've taken the children away. We do like our skiing. So generally have a skiing holiday. We've just been away for this last weekend. Our son's 16 and we left him in charge. I've just had to rewrap all the bales because he didn't stack them very well. But, you know, he's got to learn. And if I was here, I wouldn't have let him stack them because I would have done it. So, you know, he understands that he got it wrong. It's a cost, and then some people drive them nuts. But on the other hand, next time, he will know that he's got to do it in a different manner. So sometimes my father always let me get on and do it, and I kind of do expect the same with our two, is that they've, the more you leave them alone to get on with it, the sooner they'll work out how to put it right next time.
And finally, I'm sure you've heard about AHDB's new Fire Up for Summer barbecue campaign that's happening right now. What would be your favourite food to have on the barbecue?
Steak.
Yes, I think mine would be some homegrown steak on the barbecue, would be definite.
Proper West Country beef.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us today. We've really enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about you and about your farm, and we look forward to following your progress over the next 4 years. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Monitor Farms are part of AHDB's Farm Excellence Programme, designed to provide locally representative case studies for you to follow in real time. Joining Liz and Rob, we have another 3 new Monitor Farms for beef and lamb, and each farm will be hosting a launch event over the coming weeks. Harry Sordi in Northumberland is first up, launching on Thursday the 5th of August, followed by Ian Farrant in Herefordshire on Wednesday the 18th of August, and finally David Cross in Norfolk on Wednesday the 15th of September. Rob and Liz will host their launch event following completion of their farm sale. For more information and to book onto an event in your region, please visit ahdb.org.uk/events. This is the AHDB Food and Farming Podcast. Thank you for listening.